podcast with lead pastor Benny Oaks. Buckhorn Church seeks to be a Christian family that worships and grows in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit to put our faith and love to work in the world.
Our epistle lesson comes to us this morning from Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, going through 8, and then skipping over to 15 and 16. Hear now the word of God. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Here ends the reading. Our scripture lesson comes to us from the Old Testament, from the prophet Jeremiah, beginning in chapter 2, beginning with verse 4, and going through verse 13. As I read these words, I invite you to listen for a word for your life. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me, that they went far from me, and went after worthless things, and became worthless themselves? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives? I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruits and its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handled the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Therefore, once more, I accuse you, says the Lord, and I accuse your children's children. Cross to the coasts of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there has ever been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, let the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And as the one who stands before you now, Lord, I ask that you would use me, that either because of me or even in spite of me, Lord, still your word will be faithfully proclaimed and your name glorified. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Few stories are sadder than the stories of unrequited love. That love that where one person loves another and that person doesn't return that love. Romantic movies and novels And story after story after generation tell of unrequited love. We see it here in this passage from Jeremiah. God loved God's people, and God's people, for whatever reason, turned away. Unrequited love. There's lots of illustrations to use for this, and instead of using a sad one, I thought that maybe a slightly humorous one might be in store for this morning. And I take this story from the theologian who decades ago said this in front of probably thousands of people. That person is Bill Cosby. He said, and this is also a good story too, because in the midst of football season, we're having our first high school games and first college games this weekend, I thought this might be appropriate. So he's teaching his son how to play football. And he said, when you teach your son to play football, you start when he's young, when he's just able to walk. And you teach him, you know, you come at me, son, come at me. And as he starts to run to you, you knock him down. And you stand him back up and you brush him off. He's like, okay, do it again. Come at me, come here. Knock him down again. You stand him back up and you brush him off. Did your dad do this to you, Colt? I'm not sure, but come at me again, son. Knock him down. This teaching, this lesson that goes on and on, this love and care that this father has can be painful, maybe to begin with, but then the good stuff comes where he teaches the son how to hold the football, how to throw the football, how to catch the football. These are all loving and love-filled moments a father might have with his son as he teaches him to play football. And as the years go on, and as the son is hitting the father, and the son gets a little bit stronger, the father doesn't want the son to hit the father anymore. It's like, son, whoa, slow down. You're getting a little bit too big for me. And so the son is able to do well in high school and is the star of the football team. And you're so proud that you tell all your friends from work, look, hey, look, that's my son out there. You're sitting in the stands and you're telling all your friends, that's my son. Look at him. Look how well he plays. You can't help but to have pride for your son. You taught him all these years. And then he's on the college stage. He's in front of what used to be hundreds and maybe a few thousand people. Now it's thousands of people and doing well. And there's TV cameras there recording the action, maybe for the first time. And his son catches the pass and he breaks through a couple of defenders. And those defenders who he doesn't break through, they don't catch him. The ones that are trying to tackle him before he gets to the end zone to score a touchdown. And he spikes the ball and he does the dance that you taught him how to do as a father. And you're so proud and you're saying to your friends on TV, look, look, there's my son, there he is. And he comes to the sideline, takes his helmet off, and the camera is pointed right in his face. And so now here's the pivotal moment. As a father, your pride is beaming forth. Your son is about to say something on camera for everybody to hear and all your friends around to witness it. He looks straight into the camera, waves, and says, hi, Mom. Well, you don't mind as a father. You know who taught him. You, in fact, love his mother as well. But there has to be a little hurt that goes in this involved with not having the one and only son say, I love you, Dad, or thanks for teaching me, or something. Unrequited love. Our story is similar, but much more dramatic and sad when it comes to God's people. And to really know the brunt of the story, we have to go back a few verses before our passage today. And look at verse 2. Verse 2 in chapter 2 of Jeremiah, God says, I remember. I remember when you, my people, were devoted to me. I remember when you loved me as a bride loves the bridegroom. I remember whenever you would even follow me into the wilderness because you loved me and therefore you trusted me. I remember. And then as the story slowly changes, in verse 5, God is left to wonder, what did I do? Why did my people stray so far away from me? Why did they not remember anymore? And then God starts to recount the story to help the people remember. Remember when you were slaves in Egypt and people took you where you did not want to go and made you do things you did not want to do, and you slept and ate and lived in slavery for years after years. Remember, I was the one who brought you out of Egypt. And even when you were faced with the Red Sea and thought, surely you're going to succumb to the Pharaoh's army, I provided a way for your salvation that didn't exist before. I parted the waters so that you could walk through to safety. And remember, you didn't walk through to safety right into the promised land. I was taking you there, but you didn't go there right away because we needed some time together. For me to be your God and for you to be my people. Remember when we were in the wilderness and there was not anything to eat. And you looked and I gave you food from heaven. Manna. The bread of heaven I gave to you. To help you realize that I am your God. I will never forsake you or leave you alone. I love you too much for that. Remember. And yet, the people turned away. People that stand behind pulpits like this and wear long robes forgot the word of God. They forgot it. And they started to worship other idols. And God says that God is like living water. But the people were like those who dig out cisterns for themselves, that dig out wells for themselves, as if they can do better than God and provide water that maybe God cannot provide. A cracked cistern makes me think of a cracked pot. Now we think about a cracked pot as being someone who doesn't have all their faculties about them, perhaps. A cracked pot doesn't hold water. And it surely doesn't hold living water. But the funny thing is that if you think that your pot or your cistern or your well is better than God's, you'll continue to try to fill it with things. Things that are maybe not good for you. Where are our cracked cisterns? Do we try to fill our lives with the love of money like it says in Hebrews? This reminds me also of a pastor who is one of my favorite authors as well, John Ortberg, who once said, "You'll never get enough of what you do not need. You'll never get enough of what you don't need." I remember being in Kmart with my dad. I may have told this story once before, which is kind of odd. I've only been here a couple months, but anyhow, we'll go with it. I was in Kmart with my dad when I was young, and I remember walking by the toy section. And I remember seeing a toy that I just needed. I had to have it. Have we all been there before? There's something there that you need. You didn't know you needed it at the time, but when you walked by it, you found out, I can't do without this thing anymore. I need that one thing. I can't remember what it was, but I needed that toy. I needed it. And so I pleaded with my dad, "Dad, please get me this toy. Let me have this, please. I need this." And so he looks at me, he says, "You need just that one thing?" "Yes." "You don't want anything else?" "Yes." "So if you have this one toy, you'll never, ever need anything else?" "Yes, of course. That's what I said." He said, "Well, I'm not going to let you have it." And I thought, well, that's kind of odd for somebody that loves me to say that. And he said, "I'm not going to let you have it because if you need that one toy, you're going to live your rest of your life in blessing because there's so many other things to need. And if you have that one thing, guess what? You're going to need something else tomorrow. You're going to think you need it, but actually it's a want. It's a desire. And the desires of our hearts sometimes are not the healthy desires. You see, we are turned towards sin sometimes. But God has everything we need. God provides the bread from heaven. God is the living water that gives us everything that we need. Now wonder what that means for us today, to think of God being the living water, the bread of heaven. How do we respond to a God who loves us in such a way that He will never leave us or forsake us, even when we have forsaken Him at times? The good news is that God is constantly calling us back to Him through His love and through His Son. To think that God would come in flesh to die on a cross so that the things that separate us from God will no longer separate us. That we could have a meal together to remember that story once more. Remember, the love is not lost from God's side. As we turn toward Him, God fixes our brokenness. God heals us in the ways that we can't even imagine right now. Glory be to God. Amen.